Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Hawk Sports Radio. I'm Andy Martinez, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Andrew McCulloch. Andrew, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. Beautiful October afternoon outside today. There's a lot to talk about with Hawk Sports this week, especially here with our...
And you got your Cubbies in a pivotal Game 3 tonight.
I know. It was a pretty disappointing weekend for baseball, but the Mets are just unbelievable right now.
That staff is amazing.
It's going to be tough. You know,
are they throwing DeGrom tonight?
They're on DeGrom tonight. Yeah.
And the Cubs are throwing Hamill, I assume?
Hendricks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, our hitters got to wake up.
But against DeGrom, I don't know. That's gonna be a little toughy. But you never know when you get to Wrigley, and you never know. I mean, some of the Cardinals pitchers are supposed to be unhittable, and the Cubs kind of tore them to shreds in that series. So it'd be a perfect time for the Cubs bats to wake up. But getting back on the Hawk Sports, what we're here to talk about, KU football, starting off with them. I was actually kind of surprised. We mentioned in the pre-show preparation, that's probably like the second best thing you could have done outside of getting a win against Indy.
Yeah, Indy, a tough team, especially having to go there on the road. Losing 26-20, Chris Harris didn't play. You know, it was always going to be a tough game to win. This team, they fought hard. Lonergan was really accurate. You know, the three touchdowns and no turnovers. It was always going to be a tough game. I mean, the defense only allowed 26 points. I mean, you got to be happy about that. And obviously, without Chris Harris scoring 20, you didn't get a touchdown on the ground. Yeah, all three of your touchdowns were through the air. But honestly, you can't really complain too much, can you? I mean,
offensively, if you just look at the numbers, you might say, if you just look at the numbers, KU was definitely outplayed, and they probably lost by three or four touchdowns. But the defense stepped up, and that's become a theme of the KU defense this season, because they might not limit teams to 200 yards of total offense or 200, 300 yards of total offense, but what they'll do is they'll get the necessary stops when they're required to. So third and goal on the 8-yard line, they'll stop them, and then the team will go for it on fourth and goal, and they'll stop them again. And that's become kind of the calling card of this KU defense. It's not necessarily stop teams and only limit them to 200 yards of scoring, but it'll be, maybe give up 400 yards a game, but get the stops in the red zone when they need to. And, sometimes that can be better than, limiting teams to just 200 yards of total offense.
Yeah, it's actually pretty much just a complete contrast from the first few weeks of the season. The defense really didn't have an identity. They struggled. They really just couldn't help the offense out. And now it seems that they've kind of found their groove a little bit. Like you've said, they've been able to make those pivotal stops. They played pretty well, I thought. I mean, they didn't really give up much through the air. The 202 yards on the ground, that's not too bad, I guess. It's not great, obviously, but obviously Indy's going to get their offense from somewhere. I was pretty happy. Only 378 total yards for Indy. Obviously, KU's offense wasn't able to step up their game. Running backs by committee didn't really get it done too well. And, actually, Poindexter was only allowed, 46 yards through the air? I mean, he had his two touchdowns still, 7 receptions, 46 yards. And that running back by committee, Kobe Bissell, Dante Flowers was back. He had 8 carries. He was previously injured, had a sling on his arm. Lonergan obviously gets some of his through the ground. Darius Burse, though, I mean, he only had 2 rushes in this game, so obviously he was just not a factor whatsoever. Kobe Bissell, the freshman, he's a name that we don't really see too often on the stat sheet there, but, he had the majority of the carries.
Talking about the rushing game, the running back by committee, especially when you have Dante Flowers coming back of injury, and then you have 2 freshman backs out there, it's going to be difficult. But I think, getting 106 yards of rushing, it's not great by any means, but it's a good start for the KU defense, and it's good for them to, kind of get the ball rolling and know, maybe not this season, but next season, if Chris Harris goes down, they have the backs that will be able to pick up the load offensively. And if you can do that against an Indy team who's 3-time conference champion and probably going to be a 4-time conference champion, that's a heck of a statement.
Yeah, and, especially on the road. Like we said, it was never going to be easy. Obviously, Indy, a very challenging opponent. Just looking at the schedule for KU, it wasn't looking like this team was going to be able to win this game after, They played a couple games at home, but they lost against William Jewell, that heartbreaking loss, obviously, after the field goal. They had to feel pretty down about that. Traveling to Indy, they could have easily just went in there and got blown out of the water, you know, say like a 45-21 or something like that. But they stuck in there. They played a really tough game, and they actually gave themselves a chance to, you know, sneak out a upset victory on the road. So you got to be thinking that Padgick is pretty happy with his team's performance, their heart and determination. Yeah, they didn't get the W, but at the end of the day, they did give it all they had. And coming into this next week, it's actually going to be a non-conference game against Ohio Dominican. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that one plays out for the Hawks.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game a little bit more. But they were, you know, Ohio Dominican was the preseason number four team in the nation. So this is also not going to be, you know, there's no cupcake. We've said this time and time again on this podcast. There are no cupcakes at all on this KU schedule. And, you know, the Ohio Dominican record might deceive you a little bit. They're 4-3. But, you know, they played the number four team in the nation at Ferris State last week and lost 38-17. They've played a lot of good teams, and, you know, they've played them tough. Grand Valley State, 27-24. It's not going to get any easier for the KU offense or the KU team in general. But, you know, if the offense can pick it up just a little bit from last week and the defense can kind of, you know, play where they were at last week or maybe even better, you know, what's to say KU can't beat Ohio Dominican? Is it maybe a long shot? Maybe, but you know, if KU can get their ball the ball rolling and play their game, and maybe take a few steps up from this game against Indy, who knows what this KU team can do against Ohio Dominican and the next three games after that?
Well, you know, it is a long shot for me, and I think it is kind of positive to look at it as maybe KU will win. I mean. No, I got nothing. I mean, obviously, I got nothing against these KU players here. You know, they fight their hearts out every week, but you know, it's just kind of the lack of productivity that I'm seeing on offense right now. The team's gonna
which is fair, by the way. Which is fair.
The team is gonna have to get it going on the ground, and you know, without your rushing leader Chris Harris, I certainly don't know if he's gonna play or not. Maybe they just held him out as precaution against Indy. Maybe his injury is a lot worse now than it was earlier in the season. But you have to get something going on the ground. Like we've always said, Lonergan's not that guy that's going to go out there and throw for over 350 yards. And he got three touchdowns, which is really good. Usually he's not that kind of guy that's going to throw three or four touchdowns and no picks. You can see that the Indy defense got to Lonergan a couple times, four sacks. So the offensive line's going to have to step up their game. They're going to have to create holes for the running backs to go, you know, to run through. And this running back, if it is, again, a running back by committee, Bissell, Flowers, and Burst, all three of them are going to have to contribute in big ways, I think, for the offense to get going. I mean, right now, it's hard for me to believe it, but now we're questioning the offense now more than so the defense, because the defense seems to have picked up where they left off last year. They're finally starting to get back to their groove.
And a lot of that is just getting healthy. And maybe that's just what the key offense needs. But, you know, I think the KU offense, you throw back Chris Harris in there, you throw Chris Harris back in there, and it's no question, it's a completely different offense. And you see that just, you know, you only get 106 yards of carry this week against Indy, and the previous few weeks you were struggling running the ball, and that's because Chris Harris, he played, but he wasn't at 100%.
Yeah.
And when he's at 100%, you watch that first game of the season when you played Lincoln. The offense was as balanced as can be. It was almost the definition of balance, I would say.
It was. I mean, it was completely gelling. Lonergan was going. Harris was. He had a great game as well, over 100 yards rushing, and that's when we saw the offense at the best.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the only time that we've seen the offense at its best.
Maybe the first half of William Jewell too, but
yeah,
the second half.
Yeah,
the,
absolutely.
But
the first half of William Jewell, they were very, very good. Not as good as they were against Lincoln, but still very good.
And you know. What KU, the defense, it has to step up. We said that at week two, and they did it. Now the offense has to step up. And you know, if we would have said after week two, hey, the defense against Indy is going to play its greatest game, you'd have said, man, they're going to beat Indy because the offense was so hot at that time, and the defense was so low. If they're going to be playing that great, you would have thought KU would have been head and shoulders above where they were at against Lincoln. But that just hasn't been the case with the offense.
Yeah, it's too bad to see it. Just, you know, kind of struggling. But like we've said, I mean, these injuries, they're tough, especially when you see your best players going down. And obviously, when we didn't have the running game going, you know, that's going to limit Eric Poindexter's potential to create a lot of big plays. And you saw that. I mean, yeah, he had seven catches, but he only had 46 yards. So it's not that you know, shining five catches, 100 yards kind of game for him. You didn't see those 20-yard plays that you see usually in the air from him and Lonergan. We saw that against William Jewell because the QU rushing game was going well. Chris Harris was playing, and he's playing well, and he looked healthy. Obviously not so much the case. Obviously, it was a little bit deceiving since he didn't play against Indy. But yeah, I mean, obviously I'm happy with the defense. Chris Parker, another interception on the season, had one against Lincoln as well. His at least second of the season. So, you know, while I'd also like to see QU maybe, get more pressure on the quarterback, you see the no sacks in the game. They did force a fumble. They got the interception. So that's good to see. Obviously, like you said, the defense is now starting to make the stops when they have to. Just, you know, is the offense going to be able to get healthy? Are they going to be able to get that balanced attack back that we saw earlier this season?
Yeah, you touched on Eric Poindexter. You know, we've mentioned it time and time and again. You know, he's arguably the best player on QU's team as a whole. Mm-hmm. He might be one of the better players in the conference. And, you know, if you look at it and you say he was held in check, so to say. He still scores two touchdowns. You know, that just kind of screams at what kind of player he is. You know, when he has a bad game, he's still getting you two touchdowns. I think any coach in the country would take that 100 times over. And he's doing that. You know, the thing about him, though, is if you're forced to throw the ball consistently and you have no balance, well, then you could have any wide receiver in the country out there. And they're going to be limited because they'll just the defense will just sit back in coverage and be able to contain everything and keep everything in front of them. And, you know, that just limits the playmakers like Eric Poindexter. And it limits what Nick Lonergan can do as a play caller back there at quarterback.
Yeah. I agree with that perspective. Another perspective, though, that I think is a positive one is that normally we see Poindexter's productivity come from outside of the red zone. These two touchdown catches, I believe, you know, at least one of them was inside the red zone, an 8-yard pass.
They both were. I'll look it up right now.
So, you know, that's a positive thing. Usually, you know, and you're
both 5-yard receptions.
Yeah, five-yard receptions from Lonergan. Yep, and him. Usually, you're looking for your bigger targets, your tight ends in the red zone. But this tells me that Poindexter still has just the absolute capability of getting open early in the route. So. That's for me, that's a positive thing. A lot of time we see his big plays come, you know, or his plays come from, you know, big yardages, the 20 to 40 yard catches, the ability to create separation in open field. But this time he's just able to get open really quick, you know, and we've suggested that QU does more of this.
Yeah.
Run quick slants, run screen plays, maybe even incorporate a wildcat offense. Anything to kind of just, you know, break the mold, you know, do something to help out the running game, you know, for example. And these things, I think, could help QU maybe, you know, just be a little better than they have been on offense, especially, you know, translating back to the second half against William Jewell and then this last game. The six quarters, they haven't been very good, so that's something they'll have to focus on for this next game against Ohio Dominican.
I think one aspect of the game that has improved, especially from 2 weeks ago against St. Joe's into this week, was the kicking game.
The kicking game
was at St. Joe's has probably been the lowest it's been.
Rock bottom.
This game, first of all, in kicking, it wasn't just, you know, field goals. You know, the kick coverage all season for whatever reason has been just not there.
Yeah, special teams, it hasn't been that great. I mean, Lincoln had a kickoff return.
Yeah, and a lot of teams were just getting big returns.
They were just getting really good field position.
Yeah,
QU was just, they were not able to limit, you know, kick return yards at all. I mean, like you said.
And this game, you know, the longest return for Indy on a kickoff was 31 yards. They really limited that. And the QU offense kicking game was right back in it. Extra points. They had missed one that was blocked by Indy. I think you're starting to see the kicking team get back. And, you know, that's a little mental, you know, little mental game too. Because if you start losing that, then, you know, you score three touchdowns, but you're back 3 points. And if the other team scores three touchdowns, you're down 21-18 instead of, you know, tie 21-21. And then you're relying on a field goal, which you've missed, to tie back the ball game. So to see that get back in order, you know, it's really good for the QU offense, and it's really good for the QU team in general.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a major positive, the special teams the last couple of games, like you've said. So this team 2-4 now. Is it is it too early to say that they're playing more so for next year? Do you think they've got a, you know, a winning streak left in them this season? Just taking a look at the conference standings, we've got QU towards the bottom now at 2-3. Indy now still undefeated in GLVC play at 4-0. They've got a five-game winning streak now at 6-1. So, you know, I don't think the season's lost. You can never say the season's lost. You're still playing. You still got a lot of young talent. I know Lonergan's their fifth-year senior. Obviously, he's going to be out after this year, but and he's had an absolutely incredible career. But, you know, maybe you are so just looking for more development heading into next season. Is that?
I think so. I think you saw that in the running back by committee where you threw out, you know, your freshman backs and instead of just relying on Dante Flowers, who, you know, has the experience,
right,
you know, maybe a little bit of the old injury played a factor too, but you start throwing those freshman backs out there, that's kind of signaling way to look at next year. But, you know, I think QU still has maybe a mini winning streak, and I think it's kind of the winning streak that you take into the offseason and build on, because I think they can go in after Ohio Dominican. It's going to be tough for them to get a win, but if they can get a win, then that would be even bigger for just everything going in to the offseason. But, you know, you beat Truman State, who's, you know, down this year. And you can either – you can take Missouri S&T and then maybe McKendree. You know, win two of the last four, three of the last four. You know, that's a pretty successful building into the offseason and building into the recruiting season.
Yeah, I mean, you might call us over-optimists, but I don't think it's out of the question to think this team could finish 5-5. You know, like you said, Truman State having a down year. Missouri S&T, they are 3-1 in conference play.
3-3 overall.
3-3 overall. So
and McKendree 3-1, 5-1 overall.
Yeah,
but what we've learned is Indy was 3-0 and 5-1 in the conference, and QU only lost them by 6 points.
Right,
and then QU plays Lincoln, and you know has to score 42 points and gives up 37 to win. So and Lincoln's in last place in the conference. So you know, top to bottom, you know it's so close to being even that you know you can't really just say that oh well that team in second place QU there's no way they can beat them
because I agree.
There's a chance with the parity of this league.
Yeah, I agree. Not only that, but QU kind of lost its focus in the second half towards Lincoln as well. Meanwhile, when they play these teams like, you know, Lincoln, or not Lincoln, but an Indy, a Missouri S&T, their focus is more likely to be up and revved, you know, the entire game.
They get up for the big games.
Yeah, yeah. They do always get up for the big games, which is good to see. And I think they'll get up for Ohio Dominican as well. I think you can look for that too. But, you know, we've talked a lot about football here. We're going to go ahead and get into soccer now. A big development in men's soccer. Andy, want to go ahead and explain what happened with the men's soccer team this weekend?
Yeah, lots of stories going out there, but what we know for sure and what is fact is Giovanni Dokai, X as he's known, All-American forward last year, second in goals and assists last year. He was dismissed from the program by head coach Mike Carpenter this past weekend. And that, you know, It's kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say it affected the team because you really don't know, but, you know, the Q soccer team, men's soccer team, loses to Bellarmine 4-1 and 2-0 against Southern Indiana. They drop from second in the GLVC to all the way down to fourth, or sixth, excuse me, in the Great Lakes Valley Conference. It's a tough pill to swallow for the Q soccer team.
Yeah, I mean, these guys can admit maybe it didn't affect them, but, you know, any kind of controversy or any kind of just big news that puts a huge spotlight on you, that's kind of got a negative effect. I think that would have to have some kind of effect on you as a team. Obviously, maybe
anything that's out of the norm in general would affect. Even if it's you know, you change practice time, you know, that's going to affect the guys in some way. Is it going to be as big as getting your All-American dismissed from the program? No, of course not. But it's still going to affect the rhythm of the team. And something this big, you know, it's got to have affected kind of – everyone must have kind of been like, whoa, like,
right,
shocked at least.
Yeah, I know you and I were both kind of just like, whoa, what happened? I mean, we both wanted to get the scoop on it. Obviously, you know, it's going to have a big effect on this team. Now, will the guys move forward from it in a positive manner? Maybe. You know, maybe they come together after this. Maybe they say, all right, guys, let's play these last three games, two of them at home. Let's just try to win out here. We got to at least make it into the GLVC, you know, tournament. let's just end the season on a good note. Let's just try and go out there and win. I've never had to go through anything like this. So from an athlete's perspective,
and I can't imagine that any of the guys on the team have had to go through anything similar to this either.
Yeah, you don't hear about this too often for KU athletics. You don't hear about guys you know being dismissed from a team, or any kind of altercations going on. Usually, all of our sports teams are a tight knit group. A lot of these guys get along. Coaches and players always have good relationships from most of the time. But yeah, it's just something that I wasn't expecting to hear about so late into the season.
Yeah. Especially off the season that the team had last year. But I think one positive for the KU men's soccer team is you look at the next two games that they play, McKendree and UIS. McKendree is fourth from bottom in the GOVC at 5-7, 5-8 overall. Illinois Springfield is right below that at 2-8-2 and 4-9-2 overall.
Yeah.
You've got two very, very winnable games if you're KU. And, you take that and you say, all this has happened. Sure. Okay. That sucks. But, let's get out and let's get two wins and put ourselves right back in to at least hosting a first round GOVC game, because I think the regular season title is out of hand for them. Being three games out, they'll
lose. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Rocker's sitting there up at 10-1-1s looking pretty right now.
Yeah. KU would have to win all three games and Rockers would have to lose all three. And then the four other teams in between KU and Rockers would have to all lose some combination. It's just too much for KU to have to overcome.
Yeah, and at that point, you just have to go out there and take care of business. You can't worry about all the things that would have to happen in order to, do this or that. Before the show started, you said, UW-Parkside is just, a game and a half out for that, that eighth spot, that last spot in the GLVC tournament. So if you're KU, just go out there and take care of business. You're playing teams that you should beat. Two of the three games are home. I think this team's got plenty of talent. Yes, not having X is going to hurt them, but
I think there's still plenty of talent on
this
team.
Oh, there's a lot of talent on this team. A lot of good young talent. You still have Taylor Reese, who's having a great year offensively. He's kind of stepped up as that kind of leader on the field for the Hawks, obviously this year. So, yeah, I think this team is very much capable of winning out these last three games.
Especially with we mentioned about midway through season, or maybe even before that, we mentioned Truman State was going to be a tough matchup because they'd been playing so hot. They had tied Rockers, or they'd beaten Rockers, but they've kind of seemed to have fallen off. They're 5-7.
They've fizzled.
Yeah, they fizzled.
They've lost four games in a row.
Yeah, they're 5-7 in the GOC, 6-9 overall. So you're really talking about three really highly winnable games. I mean, Truman State won't be easy by any means. They still probably have the talent to beat KU, but you're still talking about three games that you could win and play yourselves into hosting a first-round GWC game.
Do you give them a break for these last two losses against Bellarmine and Southern Indiana?
You want to say yes, but at the same time, you don't necessarily.
The only thing that I'm kind of just, wow about is the fact they gave up four goals to Bellarmine.
Yeah.
They lost 4-1. And just, their lack of productivity, too. I mean, they scored one game in these two goals. Bellarmine just came out, scored four goals right off the bat. KU adds a late one. David Geerling, at the 85-minute mark. But Bellarmine just dominates. 22 shots on goal compared to 8 for KU. It just kind of looked like Bellarmine had things going offensively, and KU just couldn't stop it.
Yeah, for KU, it'll be important to try and, you just got to put these last two games, the last whole kind of week, it's probably, really messy for the guys. You just want to put that behind you and just say, hey, let's keep going forward and, let's forget all the, you lost three or four, who cares? This is still a team that's 1 year removed from losing to the national champions in the Final Four. This isn't like it's a brand new team that has 11 new starters and three new guys off the bench who, haven't played a game of GOVC soccer in their life. There's still a lot of experience on this team. And you kind of hope that kind of comes to fruition in these next few games.
Yeah, we both agree that this team is very well capable of bouncing back. I think they will bounce back. Obviously, they got three winnable games coming up. I expect them to play well. They've got a lot of talent, as you said. Hopefully they can get it done. A team that we've also talked about a lot, plenty about, getting things done, have been the women's soccer team, and they've got things done. They beat Bellarmine 3-0. They beat Southern Indiana 1-0. They shut out both teams What's your thoughts on that?
We talked about the importance of a Tua weekend all season, and we said, you know, this was probably going to be the one weekend where they didn't get Tua weekend. They get two and oh weekend against Bellarmine, who was ranked and undefeated at the time, and they beat Southern Indiana on Sunday. And this was a team we talked about, you know, the draws and, you know, just, you know, how everything was playing out. There was a chance that they might miss the NCAA tournament. I think with this, provided some horrible, you know, downfall or, you know, collapse, Q's right back in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think they're, you know, unless they lose all three games and get blown out and then lose the first game of the GOVC, I think they should safely be in the NCAA tournament.
The only way I thought that they might be in a little bit of trouble is if they lost I thought they had to go 2-0 and they did. I thought losing to Bellarmine or Southern Indiana would not be a good thing for them to do. But I mean, you look at their record now; it's they've got double digit wins at 10-2-3. They've won three games in a row. They appear to be focused. Hopefully, they stay focused. I mean. They choose to take our words in a slightly different manner, which is fine. I mean, hey, whatever you need to get motivated for a game, do it. I mean, just make sure you keep that motivation for these final three games. Obviously, they play the same three as the men: McKendree, Illinois Springfield. Those two games coming up here at home. Illinois Springfield 4-6-2. And that's another winnable game. Southern Indiana. That's the team they just beat. I'm sorry, Illinois Springfield. Another game that you can win there too.
McKendree's
they're a good team. 6-4-2 there.
McKendree will be playing to, you know, steal up their GOVC spot. They're in the seventh spot right now, two games ahead. Game and a half ahead of Maryville for that last spot. And then you got Truman State after that, who's third in the GOVC, 8-1-3, 9-2-4. So, you know, we talked about KU men having three winnable games. The women have, you know, not by any means are they not winnable games, but they're not easy games like the men seemingly have.
Yeah, two of these games are going to be tough. Obviously, like you said, McKendree looking to take a KU spot up there towards the top, and you know, try to have a host game of their own for the. You know, but
yeah, if the GOVC ended or if the season ended today, GOVC or the KU women's team, excuse me, they would host the first round GOVC game against Drury.
Yes,
at Legend Stadium, but then they would have to go on the road after that.
Right. But yeah, I mean, these are two tough games. Obviously, you got to win against UIS. That's a easy winnable game. Hopefully, you know, they've had the tendency sometimes to kind of, you know, take the foot off the gas pedal and tie teams that we both agree we think should beat. But they did step up. They beat Bellarmine on the road. So hopefully they're just kind of like the football team. They rise above, you know, they rise to the crop of their challenge, to the crop of the teams that they have to the beat, like Bellarmine, handing them actually their first conference loss. Now,
and their first loss overall. Yeah.
Yeah. First loss overall. They're now 13-1-1. They're having a phenomenal year. But, you know, this Lady Hawks team has so much talent. That's why we're hard on them. We both believe that they could be something special at the beginning of the year.
I think.
And they still could go on a, you know, a major run and do something great. I mean, at least that's what I think.
I think one thing we've learned, you know, especially after this Bellarmine game, and you saw it at the beginning of the season, when they beat Grand Valley State, we said, you know, they can compete against the top teams in the country. And then we kind of saw them fizzle out and, you know, draw three games, lose a couple games and, you know, kind of, you know, just fizzle out really and kind of, you know, maybe take it easy, I guess is the right word. But then after that, we see them, you know, pick up wins. We see them come out and beat Bellarmine at Bellarmine. And, you know, we see them do it in a fashion that was, you know, pretty dominating, 3-0 at their place on the road. You know, that's really – when they play the top teams, KU can, you know, they can beat anyone in the country is what they've proven. But now it's, okay, yeah, that's fine that you can beat Bellarmine and Grand Valley State, but can you beat your McKendree's and your UISs and your Truman States? Because, you know, those games that you've won are great, but if you start losing those three games, then you're right back to square one.
Yeah, and I've talked about this weeks ago for both men's and women's soccer. I think what's really, really important is just getting hot at the right time, winning these final games of the season, going into the conference tournament with a lot of positivity, a lot of momentum. And just, you know, confidence to the roof, you know, having the confidence that you're going to go in there and win these games, no matter who you're playing, whether it's Bellarmine, number one seed, or Drury, the number five seed, if that's how it plays out. So it's really important just to stay focused, Whatever you got to do to stay focused, get yourself motivated, do it.
Let's talk smack again, I guess. I mean, they haven't really done anything to make us have to talk smack, I guess.
No, I mean, we don't talk smack to
I don't think we did say anything horrible last week.
No, not only that, but it's like, it's athletes, for some reason, athletes just take things so personal. I mean, like, we're just analyzing results. That's all. I mean, you know, we don't have anything against any of you. You know, you all are probably nice people. We root for you to do well. We're Hawks too. So, I mean, we want to see you succeed, and that's that. So, Hawk Sports wrapping up here. We're at the end of the show. We recapped the week that was, the Hawks football team losing, and, you know, a little bit of mixed results for the men and women's team. A lot's going to be going on, and hopefully we'll have a preview show for you this coming Friday.
If I don't get sick again.
Yeah, that'll be key on that. But, Andy, thanks for joining, as always. This is Andrew McCulloch, and we will see you hopefully later this week, Hawk Sports Radio.